Welcome to the Grace Hour, a daily program that takes a dive into the believer's daily challenges and helps him learn his faith in a practical way. My name is Jasmine Field, and I'm joined with my amazing co-host, Miss Michelle Benoit, in the studio. Today, we will be talking about godly emotions, and we are thrilled to dive into this subject with you. Michelle, you know, when you and I were speaking on the phone, I was really excited about just the peace in the preparation process in talking with you and with everyone today. And I actually want to ask you about your opinion on this very short poem, because I read it to you a little bit yesterday, but I think it's a very great picture of the ongoing battle that we face, especially as women, between what our emotions are trying to tell us versus God's Spirit filtering through and really guiding us. So this is by Christian author Ann Peterson, and the poem says, "I wonder when it happened, Lord, this feeling we're apart. I know when I first met you that I gave to you my heart. And then my father showed me that when trials came my way, I'd pull my heart back slightly, a little more each day. I didn't want the distance, and I knew what I must do. I handed back my heart to him and all my love anew."
So sweet.
So when you think about us as women, especially, and these ongoing emotional battles, would you say that that is an accurate picture?
I think it is. There's an ebb and flow to our lives. And if you've been saved a long time, you're in a very different place than when you first started because life happens.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. Different challenges, different additions, different subtractions. I want to take some time to talk a little bit generally about emotions and maybe define, give us a baseline to define where we're going. You can't deny that emotions have an influence on how we live and interact with other people. The choices we make, our actions, our perceptions are all colored by our emotions. Something that makes us laugh today, a child spilling something in the car, like, oh my gosh, really?
Up, down.
Yeah. Tomorrow we'll be infuriated at same child spilling same liquid, right? Oh my gosh. God bless our poor kids.
Yes.
And psychologists have tried to identify emotions, the different types. They've got all these crazy theories. In 1972, psychologist Paul Ekman suggested only six basic emotions: fear, disgust, anger, surprise, happiness, and sadness. I don't think he was married.
I was going to say six at the top of the list, or
six altogether. All right. In the 80s, Robert Plutchik has another whole thing called the Wheel of Emotions, and it's got many, many more. And he says they're combined, and they go out from the center to create different kinds of emotions, just like a painter would mix colors.
Yes. I think that's more accurate.
Maybe. I'm going to tell you, I don't know. We're not weighing in for sure, but we're just going to talk about this for a little bit. In 2017, researchers at Berkeley identified 27 distinct categories of emotions, and I won't read all of them, but they added anxiety, confusion, horror, nostalgia, satisfaction. All right. And then I'll put on the Facebook feed an emotion wheel with 114 emotions.
See, that's the one that I'm talking about right there.
Yep.
That's more accurate to me. That's the most accurate one.
Yep.
And women just feel so much at any given time, on any given day. And then the circumstances are just like, that's the rope right there, you know? And it's not that we don't love God or that we don't want to submit how we feel to him, but when it's so many things while you're functioning, you just need, like you're saying, these baselines to understand where am I at and how do I need God's help right now?
So good. Well, because we were planning to talk about emotions, I've been like tapping into my own. And something happened to me a week ago that just set my hair on fire.
Oh, wow.
And I started with confusion and then anger and then frustration. And then I jumped into pride and judging.
Yep.
And this was all in a matter of seconds.
I was going to say, is this like a 2-minute time span?
Oh, no, not even 2 minutes.
Oh.
It was seconds.
Wow.
That I saw myself going through all of this. And my thing always is I'm going to get home and talk to my husband about this situation. I just smiled and nodded through the situation because I couldn't trust what I was feeling.
Wow.
But even on the way home, I was like, okay, And then I realized, wait a minute. This wasn't at all what the person meant by their comment. Mm. Has that ever happened to you?
Oh, definitely. I'm glad you said that, because even in that book that we were reading before regarding love and respect by Dr. Egrik Emmerich.
Love that book.
One of the things that he said is that you have to understand before you respond that you have to ask a question that's integral to your response, which is, was the intent of the heart of this person to do XYZ? Did they set out to hurt you? Do you honestly think, based on who this is, the relationship you have, they said, I want to hurt Jasmine. I want to hurt Michelle. And then they started talking. And when you remind yourself of that, when you pull away from how you're feeling and you say, wait a minute, this wasn't on purpose. This was the outcome of the conversation. Mm-hmm. But this wasn't what they set out to do. Mm-hmm. I think it makes a big difference in kind of clearing your headspace, kind of clearing your emotions, and helping you realign yourself through the eyes of God. And I think seeing everyone that we interact with through the eyes of God is so important when we realize how emotional we can be. How does God see this person? Very important to how I respond to them right now.
So good.
You know,
we express our emotions through our facial expressions, our body language. Just have a woman put her hands on her hips.
Oh, yes.
And her husband should know he's in trouble. The tone of her voice, whether or not your heart starts beating.
Yes.
You know, just show me a picture of a reptile and my heart is going a million miles an hour.
No.
You know, behavior, crying, throwing objects. That used to be my thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't do it anymore.
Mine used to be getting the keys and just driving away.
Yes.
I was like, you know how I feel about this? I can't even look at you. I'm leaving.
Yep. We've got verbal reactions, you know, swearing.
Yep.
We can even make up some nice Christian swear words.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Bless his little heart.
That's too sweet right there.
Oh,
I don't really go for the Christian version.
Well, put a lot of sarcasm in, you know?
Okay.
Oh,
all right.
Bless his little heart.
Oh.
Yep. You know, we also can have a psychological response to depression.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, and social withdrawing.
Yes.
All of a sudden, the whole house is very quiet.
Oh, yes. You know, there's those moments where you have to realize that what you're sowing into the atmosphere is affecting everyone. Mm. And I've even heard a lot of our pastors say about the teenage years, and maybe you can attest to this, that it's very important for you to make sure that your teenager's mood is not running your household.
Oh, my gosh.
Because they're going through so much.
We could just make a whole meme out of that and maybe a whole book.
Oh, really? So it's true?
My gosh.
I don't have teenagers yet. But sometimes I think about, you know, my husband teaches middle school, and some of the things that are transitioning in them, they just simply entertain him. And I said, that's why you should be the one teaching them, because some people would say, I cannot teach this age group. Like me, I did it 1 year, and then I said, I'm so glad I taught middle school so that I know that I don't want to teach middle school.
Yeah.
You know, but it's amazing how there can be this tension, you know, this tension that's there. But the fullness in the tension, like you're saying, it can be full of different things.
True.
It can be rejection. It could be dishonesty. It could be hostility. There's a range of what's going on in us, you know, and we were designed this way. Mm-hmm. So it's important to know, how does God want us to navigate this?
Well, this was a pleasure to study. I'm so glad we had this topic. The thing that I took away the most is emotions are a guess our brain makes.
Ooh.
Yes, we think it's so clear. Like, my hair is brown. It's always brown. You know, you leave the dishes in the sink, I'm going to get angry. We think it's such a clear-cut thing.
Yes.
It's not.
No.
It starts with a subjective experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something happens, circumstances, words, actions,
yeah.
Wet towels on the bed.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness, I'm going to lose my mind. And then we've got, sometimes they call it a fight or flight response.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But there's also a freeze response,
mm-hmm.
where you just are deer in the headlights.
Yep.
You don't even know what to do with this.
Absolutely.
Fawning, F-A-W-N response, where, okay, you see this person is really flipped out and you're just going to do everything you can to avoid conflict.
Yep.
Or fainting. Some people just fall over. And
I can't handle this. Yep.
Oh my gosh.
Yep. Definitely.
So your ears or your eyes take in information. Mm-hmm. Something has happened. Mm-hmm. This information sparks your amygdala. Mm-hmm. Your amygdala sparks your hypothalamus.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Your Dr. Benoit.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I know. Huh? Woohoo. The ankle bone is connected to the something.
Oh my gosh.
And then a hypothalamus sparks your glands. Your glands start making hormones and they pump, get poured into your bloodstream.
Wow.
You know,
and I mean, everything you're saying, it to me, it just highlights like this is the detailed design of God.
Yes. Thank you.
Like this is so evident why you would go to your father to help you with this. Mm. He is saying like, oh, yes, I thought of this and then I made you. Isn't it amazing how it all works together?
Incredible.
But we turn it into, oh, my goodness, not this is a guess. This is reality.
Yes.
And then we just start functioning in projection land.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. I have a vacation home there. I'm there all the time. You know, and many people blame circumstances.
Yep.
Blame the government. Blame this. It's April. It's tax season.
Yes.
Blame other people. Mm-hmm. They say, you've heard it said, you make me so angry.
Yes.
No, not true.
Right.
Your anger was your interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
Situations just simply expose what we've already been thinking.
Yep, that's true. That's true. You know, it's when the pressure's on, it reveals a lot about who we already are, not who we became in that moment because of your behavior, which is so awful. You turned me into a completely different person. Like, okay, I'm mad at you, but I was also working on some things too.
Oh, yeah.
So I need to own my part where this got off path.
Thank you.
Yes, definitely.
Emotions are more than just feelings. They teach us, they inform us what we value, what we believe, what we desire.
Yes.
And they point to the inclinations of our heart. Emotions are the language of the soul. You're right in saying they're a gift from God.
Yeah.
They are cries that give our heart a voice.
Yes.
They're a little mirror reflecting what's already been going on. Mm-hmm. And God gave them to us as a gift to energize our behavior and be a catalyst for action.
Wow.
All right. If you see your toddler running towards the road.
Right, right.
You know, you don't sit there and analyze.
Yeah. Should I do something? I feel like I should do something right now. No, but you know, I like that you're saying that. I think it makes total sense because this is where we can really make a wrong turn.
Ouch.
You know, like we can feel all that God has done in us, but because it's not surrendered to Him, we start making decisions in our emotions. And next thing you know, we've created a huge mess.
True.
But that's the thing about them that you and I were also speaking about is that you have to understand that even though emotions are God-given, they have the power to convince you out of God's will.
Ah!
Convince you. And the thing is, a lot of times you're so blind to it. I mean, you're functioning in total oblivion that God is, you know, up there like, I am really trying to fellowship with you because I see where this is going. And we are just like so dead set. No, I don't need to talk to you. I know how I feel and I know what I'm going to do.
Well, just imagine
taking over.
Your husband is 2 hours late. From work, and you can't get a hold of him on the phone. And first your mind goes to, oh my gosh, he's been in a car accident.
Yep.
He's dead.
Mm-hmm.
And then you still don't hear from him. You call a few people. Then you're like, he's having an affair. He's had his girlfriend.
Oh, Lord.
Oh my God. Oh, it'd be better if he was dead. He'd be better if he was. I'm going to kill him when he walks in the door.
Oh my
for
gosh.
Whatever reason he was late. He had a flat tire or someone needed a ride home. You have got the wooden spoon.
Yeah,
aimed at his head.
But now you have to take some time and calm down about like 8 things that never actually happened.
Yes.
Because that's the thing about projection land.
Yes.
It's just always trying to make itself more and more enhanced in your emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And you're thinking like, I love where you started. I'm concerned. Then it turned into, okay, I'm suspicious. Okay, then it turned into, I'm angry.
Yes.
Then it turned into, I am impatient, you know? And then as soon as he gets home, whatever he's gone through, it's like the reality of whatever he's going to say is so far from you believing him. Meanwhile, he walks in confused. I'm sorry, did I unlock the door the wrong way? Is that what's wrong? Because I have done nothing. I just got here.
Yeah.
But this is really how we interact, especially as men and women. And I think this is why a lot of times guys emphasize the fact that they are so simple about a lot of things. And that's why for them, women are such a phenomenon. You know, like to a man, that could sound totally insane. Why didn't you just pray for me? You can, aren't we both believers? Pray for me.
Didn't think of that.
Trust me. Trust that something is going on. If I always do this and now today I'm not doing this, don't go into the zone of maybe he wasn't satisfied. He did mention that thing 5 years ago about what he didn't like about me. Maybe that's finally taken over him. You know, it's just like we just totally lose it. You know, and I do think we can separate, even though emotions are God-given, I think we can separate our emotions from God on purpose.
This isn't
a spiritual thing.
It's
true. I don't need God's help.
While emotions are valid, they're not always rational.
Right,
okay? They're responses to a perception.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we go about having godly emotions?
Yes,
well, consider the source. Matthew 7:18, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit.
Wow.
Emotions reveal what we desire most, right? We have to ask ourselves, wow, what is ruling my heart? What am I worshiping here? They're a part of our humanity that needs to be sanctified and brought under the authority of God's word.
I love that. I love that you brought up sanctification because I think one of the reasons why it's so important to understand the battle of the emotion and all of the emotions that we could feel at any given time is that we have to have a humility. Our current status as believers is that we are in the process of being transformed. We are always in the process of it. We're in the process of developing God's mind. We're in the process of developing God's heart. We're in the process of understanding really what Scripture is saying to us and what it wants to warn us about, what it wants to give us wisdom about. This is how we can clarify whether our emotions are appropriate. Am I thinking with God about this issue? You know, so important, you know, when we stand back and say, actually, you know, God is doing a work in me that is not yet complete. And that could really be contaminating this situation as I respond in my emotion.
True. I love that God says, be angry and sin not. Emotions are not sin.
Right.
It's what you do.
Yes.
After you've experienced the flood of hormonal surges.
Yes.
Are there any forbidden emotions?
You know, now this is an interesting question because I used to feel like, you see, I used to feel like and think that if I felt a certain way, that it was sinful. And then when I realized that God has experienced such a range of emotions through Jesus Christ, it made me feel very free because it's not so much about the feeling, it's about my response to the feeling.
So good. Yep. You know, I mean, some people might think as a Christian, you should never feel despair.
Yes. Yes,
know?
You can feel a sense of guilt or like, oh, you know, I guess my faith isn't as strong as it needs to be because I feel this way. Yeah.
Yeah. Emotions help us live in healthy relationships with other people, right? But when we use emotions as a reason to separate.
Yes.
From people. How many people have talked themselves out of church? You know, what happened? They didn't cooperate with God in the transformation process. Colossians 3:8-10 describes the process. It says, put off anger, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication. Put on the new man.
Yes.
So this tells me that anger, wrath, very ugly, nasty feelings are going to come out of my sinful heart.
Yeah.
But do I act on them? Do I send a nasty text? Do I write a nasty email? No. The transformation process of Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. Now, I'm going to show you a guy in Lamentations 3 who's a mess, a certified mess, and I'm not going to read all of it. Jeremiah, let me just read this to you. I am Jeremiah, the man who has seen affliction because of the rod of God's wrath. He has led me and made me walk in darkness. He has turned his hand against me repeatedly all day. He's caused my flesh and my skin to waste away. He has shattered my bones. He's talking about God here. He has, there's more. I'm not even going to read it to you. He has besieged and surrounded me with bitterness and hardship. And Jeremiah is just spilling it all, mm-hmm. spewing it all. Mm-hmm. And there's like 10 more, 15 more verses
wow.
on this. But then verse 21 is this incredible turning point. But he says, I call this to mind and I have hope. It is because of the Lord's loving kindness that we are not consumed.
Yes.
His tender mercies never fail. They are new every morning. In the midst of all this spew, mm-hmm. all of a sudden comes this realization. The yes. Lord is my portion mm-hmm. and my inheritance, says my soul.
Yes.
He's talking back to himself.
Yes.
I have hope. I wait for him. The yes. Lord is good to those who wait for him
yes.
and who seek him on the authority of God's word.
Yes. Yes.
Huge turning point.
Yes.
And then this whole chapter goes on where Jeremiah gets very thoughtful in verse 40. Let us test and examine our ways. Mm-hmm. Let us return to the Lord. Let us lift up our hearts and hands in prayer
wow.
toward the God of heaven.
Wow.
I love that God is showing us it's okay to spew.
Yes.
To God.
Yes.
Not on the phone.
Right,
not
right,
on
right.
Facebook. Mm-hmm. It's okay to vent. Mm-hmm. And then you calm down. Mm-hmm. And God made Jeremiah's emotions new and different wow. by helping him to change his thoughts. He eventually realized, wow, why is all this bad stuff happening to us? Mm-hmm. We're getting taken to Babylon. Mm-hmm. Well, we've been disobedient.
Yes. Yes.
You know, and the spewing led to a realization of God's mercy,
yes.
led to repentance.
Yes. And I think that's why there's so much freedom in confession. You know, I can't tell you how many times I have really had to kind of brace myself for a conversation with God as if he didn't already know what I was going to say. But because it was so raw and because I was so upset, or I felt like I shouldn't feel upset, but I do.
Yes.
You know, when I have finally just had that conversation, and sometimes even in the prayer, I'll say, you know, Lord, have mercy on me. I'm not trying to disrespect you. I'm just trying to be honest with you because I know you desire my honesty more than false praise.
So good.
You know, and I just, that so blesses me. You know, the example of Jeremiah, it so blesses me because it just reminds us, like you said, we are allowed to not be in a good mood. As Christians, we are allowed to say, I'm having a bad day. We are allowed to say, I just don't know right now. I don't know. I don't have an answer. I don't have a verse. I just need a cup of tea. I just need a hug. I just need understanding, you know? And I love that there's that whole path from I am so upset to I'm just going to be honest about it, transparent about it. Now I am free from the bondage that these things are keeping me in mm-hmm. because I have confessed it to the Lord mm-hmm. and because he can totally handle it.
I love it.
You know, he's not looking at Jeremiah saying, how dare you? How dare you question me? But instead, there's this revealing, mm-hmm. you know, like you said, he's able to finally have this sobering understanding. And we think about that from Hebrews 4:12 about how the word is a two-edged sword. Mm-hmm. You know, it cuts right down to the marrow
It
really helps us to snap out of it. You know, I love that God's word is so alive and it's an answer for us to go to so we can say, how do I respond to all this inside of me? Give me a word, Lord. Mm-hmm. And he's so faithful to do it.
And we understand a hugely serious situation was happening.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, they're being led out of their country into slavery and probable death. Mm-hmm. We understand a strong thing could lead to a strong emotion. Mm-hmm. Do our emotions lead us to make illogical decisions?
You mean when do our emotions lead us to make illogical decisions?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that this is a really great aspect of emotion to focus on because we just need to be honest. You know, when we're in a high emotional state, and even Pastor Schaller has spoken about this with us before, when we're in a high emotional state, this is not decision-making time.
Mm.
It's not. And I think it's very healthy and very wise to develop a spiritual discipline
yes.
where you say to yourself, I know where I'm at emotionally, and this is time for me to back away and be quiet.
Yes.
You know, now there are some people who don't do well responding to that. No, I want to talk about this now. Please, I can't be left like this. And you're like, no, you want to be left like this before I say a lot of stuff that you'll never forget. You know, because you know when you have kind of reached that line of, I shouldn't be conversing anymore. I do need to go be with God about this. And even that's going to take me some time. I just need a minute to be quiet and alone sometimes, you know. But I love that when we think about God's word being applied to our thought process, that that does minister to our heart, you know, the two are connected on purpose. And God made us to feel. And he reminds us that he wants our whole heart. He wants our whole, he says in Luke chapter 10, verse 27, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind. But he also says, like you have reminded us, Michelle, in Jeremiah 17, 9, that submission of the heart is not an easy task.
True.
It's not an easy task. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And I love the ending to this. Who can know it? Are you really in a place where you and God have had fellowship about this topic, and now you can trust that the thoughts of God are about to be transferred into your decision?
So good.
You know, because you know when you're not.
So good.
You know, for me, a big clue is if I think about it now, even if it happened 5 years ago, 10 years ago, if something rises up in me involuntarily, I know I'm still not over it. Emotionally.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
But there's a difference when you reflect and you can say, no, God's hand is on that. So I can talk about that now.
I love that. Emotions are a signal. They tell us something's going on that needs our attention. They're a gift from God, but I don't think I'd be happy to open up a big box of loneliness on Christmas morning.
Yes.
Or fear. Those things don't seem good to me. But what are the consequences if you bury or suppress your feelings? Just like, I don't know, a toxic waste pile, something somewhere, buried emotions leak out in an unhealthy way.
And you do, something sounds funny sometimes when you make a comment about something and then someone responds in a way where you say, is there something more there? You know, or maybe it's a small statement you make and you have a really big response in response to your small statement. And you can tell this is connected to something painful for this person because there's no way that they should have responded like that. That's not even what I meant.
True.
You know, but it's there.
True.
You can pretty it up as much as you want. But like you said, that stench, it's there.
And not everyone's going to react to the same situation in the same way.
Yes.
We are often surprised if our husband doesn't react the same way.
Yeah.
But if a person said, I feel disrespected, they're not actually speaking about a feeling. They're telling a story. We tell ourselves a lot of stories that someone else is not treating them right. But their actual feeling underneath the story could be that they're angry.
Yes.
Or they're sad, or they're embarrassed. And for some people, being treated disrespectfully in a way that they would rise up a steely determination in them. You know, like, I'll show you I'm better than that.
Oh, definitely.
And, you know, so we can't expect our husbands, our children to all react.
Yes.
You know, a death in the family will bring about different reactions.
Definitely.
In Ezra 3, the builders were laying the foundation of the temple. All right. The priests are blowing the trumpets. They've got cymbals. They're praising God. In verse 11, they're all singing by choruses, praising, giving thanks to God. He's good. His mercy endures forever. The people are shouting because the foundation has been laid. But verse 12, many of the priests and Levites who were ancient men that had seen the first house 70 years ago, when the foundation of this house was laid, they wept with a loud voice. But many people shouted for joy. So the people couldn't discern between the noise of the shout of joy and the noise of the weeping. For people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off.
Wow.
So who had the godly emotions?
Right.
Who had the correct emotions? Now imagine you're in this situation with your husband or your boss, your coworker, your mom, your kid. Who can say what is the correct emotion?
Right.
Well, neither of them is correct. All are valid.
Yeah.
You know, some could have been happy and rejoicing. The ones that were weeping could have been feeling a deeper joy.
Yeah.
Often we cry mm-hmm. at a wedding or the birth of yeah. a baby because we are feeling such joy and it just leaks out as tears.
Yeah. And I really appreciate so much that encouragement, that validation, that whatever you're feeling right now is okay. It's the unpacking of it and what we're going to do about it that we have to focus on. And I tell my kids that all the time, because as you're growing, and even honestly, when you're an adult, sometimes you don't know why you're responding the way you are. Sometimes it takes prayer. It takes some time away from the issue, away from talking about the issue.
True.
And really trying to understand, what is God trying to tell me about this? Because I'm actually confused. I know that this is a trigger, but I'm not really sure why this is the outcome. And I love that you can really justify how you're feeling in this sweet way when you're connecting it with God and saying, God is trying to tell me something here. And he's also going to help me with whatever that something is.
So good.
You know?
On August 23rd, Pastor Schaller did the Noontime Wrap. Mm-hmm. And he said an amazing thing. He talked about disappointment.
Okay.
And he said, don't let disappointment have authority in your life.
Wow.
So we see our emotions. I like the word unpacked. We unpack them. We take them to God.
Yes.
But we don't give them authority.
Right.
We have to understand sometimes we're wrong.
Oh. Huh? Say that again? Sometimes.
Oh, my gosh.
I think more often than not, we are wrong because we don't have the ability that God has where our emotions don't lead us to sin. You know, that's the biggest thing. We have to remember God has emotions too. You know, there's laughter at the enemy and then there's weeping when he loses a friend.
Yes.
And he has felt a range of so much, you know,
so
but
good.
His response is not in danger of getting off the correct path, you know,
right.
And we have to remember and appreciate that, you know, about ourselves as people. You know, if this doesn't go through the filter of the cross, I can really be in danger right now.
So good. Such a good point.
Mm-hmm.
One thing our culture doesn't do a good job of is letting people mourn.
You know, that's true.
We are in this quick society and like, come on, suck it up. Come on, get over it.
Mm-hmm.
I think in Azerbaijan, once a death occurs in the family for the next, I think it's 5 Thursdays. I'm not sure. But it's for the next several weeks, people know this person will open their home for tea.
Oh, wow.
Maybe for 6 weeks. It's a certain day of the week. It's a culturally agreed upon thing.
Mm.
And you have your opportunity to express. In America, it's at the funeral and then the next day you're done.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be over it.
Right. Right.
And you can't get over something. You know, I think if we just let ourselves experience it.
Yeah.
I talked to our aunt this morning, as a matter of fact, and she just lost her husband this spring.
Mm-hmm.
They'd been married over 30 years, and she said she's going by herself to the last place that they were together. Their anniversary's next week.
Oh, my gosh.
And she's going to spend however much time she needs with God.
Wow. Amen.
At that place. And just, you know, feel the feelings.
Yeah.
Let these waves wash over you.
Yeah.
And put yourself at God's disposal.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
I think that is so healthy.
I love that. I love that, you know, because it's important, I think, to make sure that we understand that nobody is saying that in order to be more Christian, you need to deny your emotions. And I think sometimes we can feel that way. You know, we have our own version of what Christianity looks like. And if you're focused too much over here, that's not being a good believer, you know. And if you're not over this when maybe you feel like everyone thinks you should be, you know, something's wrong with you.
Mm.
You know, something's wrong with the way that you're believing in God. And I wanted to reference this book about God's objective love, because I think that it's important for us to remember over and over and over again how God is perceiving us.
Okay.
You know, we look at ourselves, we see so much fault. We hear some of the things that our friends or family say, more fault. And just making sure that we understand the purity of God's eyes and thoughts towards us is so important.
Okay. And I want to know the title and the author.
So this is called The Book of Love, and it's made. It was made as far as all of the design and all of the content by our dear, dear Pastor Ron Swingle. I have learned so much from this man, and I would encourage everyone to go on Amazon right now and get the Book of Love if you want to learn more about God's love for you and how that applies to objective love, how your emotions can start running the show and divide your relationship with God. And I just have a quote from the book that I wanted to share because it really helped me understand so much. So in his book, The Book of Love, Pastor and Elder Ron Swingle brings definition about the context of God's love, which can help our emotions to be realigned in Christ. He says, when God releases his love to one who believes, that person instantly becomes an object of his love forever and ever and ever in ad infinitum, and nothing and nobody, not even the object, can change his mind.
Wow. Beautiful.
Now, if we really meditated on that every day, every time we felt lost internally, every time we felt disconnected from people and from God, reminding ourselves, no, this is who I am in Christ. Mm. He loves me so much that even though I have royally messed up this situation, or maybe I'm not even responding the way that I should, he just says, I love you. I love you. I love you. Even when you were unformed in Psalm 139:16, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. This is a God who has loved you for so long.
So good.
So long. And when you fellowship with that, and that's your basis for how to process this emotion and what to do after you have prayed, it gives you such a great sense of security and a great sense of worth that you need to remind yourself of daily.
Beautiful.
Daily.
Beautiful. You know, an emotion can be incredibly strong.
Yes.
So strong that we think it defines our reality.
Mm-hmm.
We can't let it.
Right.
We always have to go back to truth.
Mm-hmm.
We can say, I'm feeling intense anger, intense hatred, intense sorrow.
Yes.
But God, you need to speak to me in this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your emotions.
Right, right.
Because it can be a way that Satan can get in.
Yes. Oh, yes.
And manipulate us. You know, and unpleasant emotions, we want to run from them.
Yeah. But really creates a vulnerability.
Yes.
I mean, it's like an open door, you know, for Satan to say, oh, let's do an attack right now.
Yeah.
She's questioning everything and she's being totally guided by how she feels, you know?
We were asked to answer the question, how does God's word heal our emotions?
Yeah.
And I was thinking all week about Deuteronomy 10:12. And now, Israel, what does the Lord thy God require of thee? Four things God requires of us, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Many people start, they get saved and they start serving. They miss the love part. They miss the walking part.
Yeah.
But it starts out with fearing God.
Yes.
And not being afraid of God, but having this reverential adoration.
Yeah.
Just, I tell God all the time, you're so smart.
Oh, yeah.
You know, his ways are better than my ways. Yeah. I was going to do it. Oh, no, your way is so much better.
Yeah.
And that's what my praise and worship is mostly.
Yes.
Just being thankful, showing that I'm thankful.
Mm-hmm.
So we start with that.
Yes.
Where am I under God? You know, I am his beloved daughter, but he has all the cards.
Yes.
He sees the whole picture. Then we start walking. We start learning his ways. Maybe you got saved. You understood God had forgiven you. This is great. Please go to Bible college.
Yes.
You know, Bible college is going to, whether you go online or you come to class, go to Bible college, learn his ways.
Yes.
And then you end up falling in love with him.
Yes. You're just so filled and it clarifies so much. I mean, even if you're not even intending on trying to get every question answered, as you realize through categorical doctrine and the nature and character of God, and it's just broken down for you, I just feel like there's these little gaps in your belief that you understand more and more and say, wow, you know what? I don't think this thing I've been hanging on to is from God. If this is who he is, then I need to let go of this thing.
So good.
You know?
So good. The last part is we serve him. And his yoke is easy. His burden is light. Mm-hmm. I've been telling this to myself for the whole month of September, even though this is October. And we've got decorations to prove.
Yay!
Woohoo, it's October.
It's officially fall.
The thing that we think we should do is numb things.
Yes.
All right? And to avoid them. Mm-hmm. That's not the thing.
Yeah.
You know, that chocolate bar is going to taste good, but it's not going to help you forget your disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to wake up doubly disappointed tomorrow when you can't button your pants.
No.
You know, so that didn't work.
Okay. All right. If you have a food reference, I have one too that I want to share really quick. I read this in a book called This Is Not the Life I Signed Up For by Donna Partow. It was awesome. She compares us feeding off of things that do not bring us closer to God as like a bubble gum. And she says, just like bubble gum gives you that false satisfaction, you can't actually digest it.
Oh, wow.
You cannot.
Wow.
So before something in your emotion totally sways you away from God, remember, it has the false perception that it's going to fill you and satisfy you to tell that person off or go talk about them to somebody else in the body.
Yep.
But just like you're saying, Michelle, there's going to be an emptiness afterwards because it was a counterfeit, you know? And we learn about that in Bible college too.
So good.
These counterfeits are right there saying, no, believe in me, depend on me. You don't need God. You don't need to do this the godly way. Come on now, it takes too much time.
The things we turn to for this temporary fix, you know, like we think, oh, I don't really do drugs or alcohol, or maybe you do, or pornography, or maybe you do, but maybe I'm binge watching.
Yes.
You know?
And it's feeding something about your emotions.
Yeah.
I mean, it is.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that you want to stay there,
right.
But a lot of things that create longings in us, like we're responding to the emotion.
Yes.
And we're trying to make it feel better.
Yeah.
Inside somehow. We will try anything except for God.
It seems like
anything. And God is like, I wish you would turn to me first.
I love it.
Yeah.
You know, we don't need to have the flight or fight response. Mm-hmm. When that comes up in you, you got to go to God.
Yeah.
We don't have to fight for our right to be respected or to be treated fairly. Mm-hmm. We have to fight for joy.
That is so true.
Let's fight for joy.
That's
we
so
find
true.
With Nehemiah that it is our strength.
Mm-hmm.
The best is yet to come.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever struggles you're having today, whatever struggles you had yesterday, the best is yet to come. Revelation 21, verse 4 says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes.
Wow.
There shall be no more death, no sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away.
Wow.
May we be people who learn to mourn well, fight the good fight of faith well, heal well, connect well, and celebrate well.
Wow. Wow. I love it. That's so beautiful. So beautiful, Michelle. It makes such a big difference. You know, like he tells us, he's so transparent and honest with us. You will have adversity in this life.
Yeah.
You know, but it's so true. Holding on to him, that's the solution. Not having the best plan, not trying to reach for perfection, not making every right choice, but saying, I turn to God and we go through this together for every decision that I make.
Beautiful.
You know, that's so awesome. I love it. You know, we are emotional people and God wants it that way. But emotions in submission to him, I truly believe, can get us through anything.
We want to enjoy our emotions.
Yes.
So, thanks for tuning in.
Thank you so much, everybody. God bless you. And we hope that you'll take a listen to us in November. God bless you and all those emotional decisions on the way for the month of October. Love you guys.